ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we started the second chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad from one point of view. This has got three chapters, three sections. From another point of view, it includes another three sections, what you call Yajnavalkya, Maitreyi, Samvada. But in this, we are only taking these three sections. And it is a conversation, dialogue between a would-be disciple who thought he knew everything and a real knower of Brahman. We can recollect the very first meeting of M, first or second meeting. Sri Ramakrishna asks M, do you believe in personal aspect of God or impersonal aspect? And Sri Ramakrishna's question made M think, sir, I prefer only the nirakara Brahman, formless aspect of Brahman. But then he went to teach Sri Ramakrishna that a persons like you who are in a position as accepted by a large section of the society, that you are a capable teacher, authorized teacher to preach, to teach people that they should not worship images. Same ignorance, unfortunately, is continuing even today. Arya Samaj was completely against the worship of the formless aspect. Then Sri Ramakrishna says that is also necessary. So God should not be limited. He is with form. He is without form. He is beyond both form and formlessness. This is the unique teaching of Sri Ramakrishna. Just like Gargiya, M was also thinking that I know everything. It is impossible that which is with form can be formless, that which is formless can also be with form. Sri Ramakrishna once for all cut M's ignorance as it were, but that is only from the side of Sri Ramakrishna. From M's side, it took a long time. How do we know? Because Sri Ramakrishna much later asks, how is your meditation going on? By this time, M accepted Sri Ramakrishna's teachings as the highest teachings, accepted Sri Ramakrishna as his guru, as Gargiya had done. And he said, I understand, though I am inclined to think about the formless aspect of God, but I am not capable of focusing, concentrating, thinking about the formless. M, I think, is yet to learn. It is not that it is your choice. I will think of the formless. First of all, one has to be extraordinarily expert, a great expert in thinking of God with form. Spiritual progress is like climbing successive steps. So he did not perhaps understand it at that time or intellectually understood. I understand it is not easy to think of the formless aspect of God. I would say it is impossible. Why? Because you can't jump to the roof from where you are standing. So, this is the same essence of the story that is going on. Here was a person who thought, his name was Gargiya. He was also called Balaki and he was proud, almost bordering on arrogance, but I would say not really. Why? Unlike Svetaketu, just like Svetaketu's father in Chandogya, this man as soon as he was made to understand, he understood everything. He accepted his limitations. He said, I need to learn a lot. So, immediately said, you are my guru. He came to teach, but he became a pupil, student. That is the greatness and true nature of every sincere aspirant. So, in this second chapter, what does it want to tell us? Tell us that whatever we see here, whatever we experience here, either physically or mentally, is nothing but Brahman. But we are experiencing only Brahman with form. To be a little more elaborate, Brahman with names and forms. So Sat, Chit, Ananda plus Brahman with names and forms. That is called Srishti Prapancha, creation. But Prapancha minus names and forms is Brahman. So the highest realization cannot be reached, is not reached until we understand the final cause, causeless cause of everything. So, what is the relationship? What does the second chapter wants to tell us? So, we have to take the whole three sections into consideration, have an overview of these three sections. It is called in Sanskrit, Simhavalokana, a king of the animals, lion, sits on a elevated place, a rock or something, surveys his whole domain like a king, and it has an overall picture. So, where are other animals? Where are certain animals whom I have to hunt later on? How far away they are? What are they doing? And it has a map, mind map of its whole kingdom. And leisurely, it decides when it is hungry, where to go. It knows. This is called Simha Avalokana, the outlook of a lion. So, this second chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad begins, as we know, with the famous dialogue between Gargya, or also known as Balaki, the learned sage. He was learned really, and he was not a pandit merely, he was a upasaka. We have to keep always this distinction between a learned man, a professor, and a real sadhaka. And this person was a real sadhaka. We know it by what happened very soon when he came to know that my knowledge is extremely limited. Immediately reversed the roles. So he thought he knew, and out of goodwill he came to King Ajatashatru, who was a Noira Brahman. And we do not know who taught him. We know how Janaka became a Noira Brahman. Yajnavalkya himself gives the certificate. Abhayam vai praptosi Janaka. But we don't know who was the guru of Ajatashatru. But one thing we know, both Ajatashatru and Janaka were more or less contemporaries. How do we know? Because when Gargya comes there and says, I will teach you about Brahman, immediately upon hearing this Ajatashatru promises, I will give you 1,000 cows, even for this your expression, whether you teach me or not, that is a separate issue. Everybody is recognizing only Janaka, Janaka. They are running to Janaka. But who is running? Not ordinary people. People like Yajnavalkya. So many people have run. And many of them must have been tempted by the offer of 1,000 cows. Every cow's horn is completely adorned with a golden ornament. And to get 1,000 cows, one has to prove that one is the not only greatest knower of Brahman, but a greatest expounder of Brahman. So there must be a capacity to teach. Swami Vivekananda was given that capacity. Not only he was a learned person, he squeezed the very essence of the scriptures, but he also has the capacity, he has the voice, he has the understanding, he has the diction, He had the power of the voice, Kantha, Kantaswara, and he was a realized soul. There once Swami Vivekananda had indicated it to one of his devotees saying, by God's grace I have all the five. If one wants to be an effective teacher, one must possess these five. A marvelous definition of who could be a teacher. First he touched head, forehead, then lips, then kantha, then the heart, indicating one must have correct intellectual understanding and one must be authorized by God. This is called faith. Even the greatest singers, if they are not authorized by God, they will not become famous. So many speakers become very famous, not because of their mere intellect, but by God's grace. And then one must have a proper words which express exactly what this person wants to convey. And he must have that capacity of the voice to crystal clearly carry out in unmistakable sound, not only selected diction, but every word should come out as a ringing of a bell. That's why in Andhra, there was a great singer, male singer. He was called Ghantasala, Venkateshwar Rao. And Ghanta means like the ringing of a very beautifully made bell. His voice is so powerful and yet so melodious, and none could be compared to him. Some of his songs are available, so one can also do that. But above all, these are all intellectual things. One must, by touching the heart, Swamiji indicated that one must have that personal realization. Only then the teacher will be perfect. Ajatashatru, he was such a soul. But this Gargia did not know. So what did he not know? He knew a little. He was doing upasanas or contemplations, and he succeeded in realizing something. He was not mere professor, because he himself confesses in nearly 12 shlokas what he had realized, what he has been doing. That means what he has successfully attained, the result of those limited contemplations. Why I use the word limited contemplations, I will come very soon. So this learned Gargia, he insisted that I will teach you Brahman. What Ajatashatru understood was, he will teach me about the Nirguna Brahma. But what Gargia, he did not even know about Nirguna Brahma. He knew only Saguna Brahma, also called Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, sometimes Virat also. And that too, there are gradations of understanding Hiranyagarbha. Because the same person can be graded. So for example, a student of music, he approaches his guru, who is also quite a famous musician. That much he can recognize. But besides being a musical teacher, not only he knows how to teach, but he knows rarest of the ragas. He may be extraordinarily good person, unselfish person, a great devotee of God, like Tyagaraja, Purandardasa, etc. So there are so many aspects to each person. So many what we call wonderful qualities must be there, might be there. Only we do not recognize them. We recognize only probably one or a few limited qualities. We have to, if we can open our eyes and see beyond, then we will be greatly benefited by ourselves. So, this Gargia, he insisted upon certain forms of which he knew, and he was practicing meditation. But we find through this dialogue, the king was more educated in this line, emphasizing on the other hand that no form, no particular manifestation can be regarded as complete in itself unless its universal background is also taken into consideration. To simplify this statement, what it means is every atom is a manifestation of Brahman. It is not separate Brahman. When we are incapable of seeing it as one indivisible infinite at the beginning of this peace chant, Shanti Mantra, we say Purnath Purnamudachyate. Purnath, from that infinite Brahman, has come out this creation, infinite world. But we do not see it as infinite. We see it as vast, but not infinite. And everything is separate from everything else. No, there is the infinite cannot be divided. The infinite is indivisible. The infinite can never be broken. Infinite minus infinite, infinite multiplied by infinite, infinite divided by infinite, infinite minus retracted can only be infinite because it is indivisible. So the whole conversation between Gargi and Ajatashatru is on this particular theme of recognizing the universal in every particular mode of manifestation. Ramakrishna, how did he look upon every one of his disciples as the Divine Mother? Even a cat as the manifestation of the Divine Mother. Not to speak of his own father, his own mother, and his own teachers. That's why whoever has taken refuge in him have been saved. So, everything is nothing but Brahman. But Brahman as such is not understandable by us. So, we have to remove what makes us incapable of recognizing Brahman in this finite. What we call finite is not really finite. It is our mind surrounding it, breaking it into pieces with the instruments called time, space and causation. The highest universal is nothing but consciousness, pure consciousness. That is the theme of every Upanishad. Isavasyamidam sarvam etkincha jagat yam jagat. So, that consciousness whose faint inklings are observable only in the state of deep sleep. That's why deep sleep is the nearest analogy to understand what is called pure consciousness. Why? Because time, space and causation are thrown out. The waking state, dream state, the gross, the subtle minds are completely out of this deep sleep state. That is why we do not recognize, cognize time while we are deeply asleep. Only when we come out, then we recollect, I went to sleep at such and such a time. Now I woke up, so I must have slept 6 hours, 7 hours, whatever it is. But that awareness of time, of space, space means divided space, and of separation of objects is completely absent. And that is expressed as, I did not know anything. It doesn't mean he doesn't know what he is experiencing. It means I did not know time, space and causation. But I am fully aware. How do I describe? When the awakened person from deep sleep issues a statement, I do not know anything. What we need to understand is he was not ignorant of what he experienced. There can be no experience in the state of ignorance. What we need to understand is that there is no way to describe what I have experienced. Na kinchit avedisham. But how do I know I experienced it? Sukham aham asvapsam. I was joyous. It was unbroken happiness from the beginning to the end, unbroken by time, space and causation. So, this is the essence of the discourse between Gargya and Ajatashatru, Balaki and Ajatashatru. Why do we use Balaki? Because the very first mantra says, Druptaha Balakihi. Druptaha means arrogant. Arrogant means that he thought he knew everything and he did not know that he did not know so much. Only a little bit of it he knows. And little knowledge cannot be compared as all knowledge. So, this is a very useful instruction that everything that is this world, cosmic, is also present in the individual. We will come to that. This is a very important point. For example, I am fond of giving these illustrations so that we understand what we are talking about. The whole Brahman, infinite Brahman, is unmanifested, invisible, but unknowingly it is there in every part of the body. One simple example. We have already talked about a triangle of the individual, of the physical world, and of the presiding deities. A combination of all these three is called Ishvara. The triangle, a complete full name for the triangle, Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, and Adhidaivika, is called here in Hiranyagarbha, or Saguna Brahma, or Ishvara. Now, this is the example. My eye, for example, it is my individual eye. And I am seeing a tree. The tree is part of Adhibhautika, the external, complete external world. Even though I am in the same world, I feel that I am somehow separate. I am the subject, I am the seer, and this world is the scene. This world is an object of my experience. And we have thoroughly understood this one in the earlier portions. Everything is the enjoyer, everything is the enjoyed, everything is the subject, everything is the object, everything enjoys everything. So that is the relationship between the whole universe. That means you cannot separate it. You cannot live without a single thing. So in this example, my eye cannot see a tree. That means there must be something in the external world. Even if it is there, I can't see it if I don't have light. That light transforms itself in the form of the capacity to see in my eye, and that same power transforms itself into the power of revealing power called light in the external world. And that presiding deity called the sun, Surya Devata, not merely a star, but it is a devata. So there is a indivisible, irrevocable, undividable relationship between my eye, the external world, and the light. And all these three are represented by the sun. In fact, the sun alone not only gives the light, the whole external world is the manifestation of the sun. And I am part of that manifestation. So, that sun is in the form of the eye of each one of us. That sun is in the form of the manifestation of the external world. And again, he is as the presiding deity. He gives light so that my eye, which is nothing but the power of light, the capacity to see belongs to the power of light. Because a blind person, even when there is light, cannot see anything. So that seeing capacity and that light and that external object, they are three in one, one in three. So imagine, extend same example to the all the five sense organs of knowledge, the ear and the sound, and that universal sound which is called akasha. Similarly, my capacity, my individual capacity to think called my mind, and the capacity to think, and the same mind is nothing but a manifestation of Chandra Deva. And very interesting, Chandra is cool. When does a person really develop deep thinking? When he is cool, quiet, unperturbed, his mind is focused, which is called a state of calmness, quietness, peacefulness. These are conditions when knowledge becomes deeper, or discovery of knowledge becomes, revelation of knowledge becomes deeper. So you extend to all the five sense organs of knowledge. Similarly, as we get in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, the adhisthanam, my capacity to hold and do things with my hand,
that power which is endowed in my hand, in your hand, in everybody's hand, and the objects which we have to catch, and that power which is manifesting in each one of us as the holding power, and in the world the power to be held on, that is called Indra. That's why the famous story, a Brahmin kills a cow, and with his half knowledge of this Vedanta Sara, he said, it is the hands which killed, and the presiding deity is the Indra, etc. You know the story, I am not going to repeat it. So, every part of our body includes every part of the physical world, includes the whole of that presiding deity. Therefore, I am no more an individual, I am the universal. But because of ignorance, I think I am the subject, everything is the object. First thing for us to awaken and realize, everything is a subject, everything is an object. So there is a unbreakable relationship between the subject and object. If the object is not there, subject will disappear automatically, vice versa. And one subject, object also disappear. Subject means my individuality. Object means that what is called Adi Bhautika, the world that we experience, the creation we are interacting with. This is possible only because of the anugraha, power, grace of the presiding deity. So the presiding deity is manifesting in each individual, in the whole world, and it unifies everything in this world. That is called cosmic view. That is what Sri Ramakrishna experienced. Am I not eating? Through every mouth. So, this interesting instruction comes. Everything that is cosmic, universal, is also present in the individual. It's in Sanskrit. Beautiful terms. That's why I repeat them. What is in the Brahmanda is in the Pindanda. But the Brahmanda is a collective name for all the Pindandas. Pindanda means individual, Brahmanda means universal. Without the universal, the individual cannot exist. Without the individual, there is no universal. Just as subject, object are dependent upon each other, the individual and the cosmos, whole universal, are totally dependent. That's why Swami Vivekananda's beautiful talks in his Jnana Yoga, I do not remember, 7th or 8th talks. 2 talks are there, the microcosm and the macrocosm. And both, he says, are the outcome of the same principle. And what is in the Brahmanda is in the Pindanda, vice versa. And when a person realizes, he sees God everywhere. Because we see God in ourselves. Now we have to see God in everything else. So, not only that, in this very 3 sections, we are also told, you know, Hinduism very much highly praises all the Saptarshis, 7 rishis, of which we believe, according to Sri Ramakrishna, the Swami Vivekananda was one of the rishis. But all the rishis are already located in each one of us. So when I get a particular quality, one particular rishi is manifest in us. And every rishi, seer, is an embodiment of a particular quality. So the text goes on to say, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Bharadvaja, Atri, Yamadagni, Gautama, and Kashyapa. All the 7 are in our bodies. They are superintending over the different limbs of our personality. They are all situated in our own senses. Even the every god is located in our own body. Say for example, the sun is located in our eye. The akasha is located in our ear. The moon is located in our mind. Indra is located in our hands. Vishnu is located in our legs, because the movement of the legs is the power of the Vishnu. So you see, all the gods, deities, gods and goddesses are also present. That is what Swami Vivekananda had meant. Each soul is potentially divine. So if we do sadhana, spiritual practice, in our own lives, in our own selves, we can recognize these cosmic realities and God can be realized in our own being. That's what Swami Vivekananda had meant. The more a person advances in spiritual life, God also grows along with him. That means as our understanding capacity about world and myself grows, our understanding of God also grows. That understanding is that the God whom I thought he was outside me, now I find as I approach him nearer and nearer, I am part of that God. That God is also a part of me. Similarly, Upanishad tells us, the five elements, this we know already, Rudhi Taitriya, the earth, water, fire, air and ether can be classified into the, can be located in each object. Every particle, every atom of this creation is a combination of these five elements. And these five elements, again, are further divided into the manifest and the unmanifest, the experienceable and the inferable, murta and amurta, the earth, the waters and the fire. These can be directly experienced by us. But the air and especially the space, akasha, can only be inferred by a sharp logic. They can be experienced because we are breathing vayu, but we don't see vayu devata, but we infer because my experience is pramana for me. What a marvelous analysis is to me. And then there is a relationship between the murta and amurta, and then the triangle, that is to say adhyatmika, adhibhautika and adhidevika. And all these three completely combined is called Hiranyagarbha, Saguna Brahma, Ishvara. And there is an indefinable, inexpressible connection between these two, unbreakable connection. Where there is individuality, there is universality. Where is there universality, there is the individuality. Take the example of a body. If you remove, separate every cell in the body, there will be nothing called the body. Or if you remove one by one all the limbs, the hands, the legs, the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, the ears and the tongue, everything, the hands, legs, etc., there will be no object called the body. The body is called the cosmic and different parts are part of this body. They combined name for all the parts into that which it is irrevocably unified. That is called the cosmic Brahmanda. So, what is the point? Now, Ajatashatru wants to enlighten Balaki, Gargya, that my son, after he became the student of Ajatashatru, and it's a marvelous incident. First, in 12 mantras, Balaki teaches, I worship Saguna Brahma in this manner, in the sun, in the moon, in the lightning, in the waters, in the earth, etc. And then at every mantra, 12 mantras, Ajatashatru listens and said, what you are doing is right. It is not wrong, but it is very limited. I worship exactly in the same way with some higher qualities. Why was Ajatashatru telling? Because my child, because a teacher has a right to call the pupils, however old he is, my child, that you will not reach the goal of your life if you stop only with this much knowledge. So first to develop those extraordinary qualities, which in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter, are called Daivi Sampat, divine wealth, and remove, destroy all the opposite qualities which keep us in ignorance. This is sadhana, is nothing but destroy unspiritual qualities and develop spiritual qualities. Once we develop, our understanding becomes crystal clear, and then we don't learn anything new, but we recollect what we have forgotten, aham brahmasmi. Remember, before creation, Brahman knows, I am Brahman, aham brahma asmi. But for whatever reason, we cannot fathom into that secret, how Brahman became the creation. These are all from our viewpoint only. Umpteen number of times I told you that you should not question why Brahman had fallen. We should question how I have come to forget my own true nature. And instead of wasting time, how can I recollect? And unconsciously we are recollecting. Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amrutangamaya. So, this is the essence, how to see the universal in the individual. This is the purpose of all the upasanas, of all the Upanishads, of every scripture practically in the world. And not only that, we cannot but help think about these qualities whenever we talk about meditation. Just imagine a Christian devotee, say Saint Teresa of Avila, or Saint John of the Cross, or Saint Francis of Assisi, when they are supposed to be meditating on the figure of Christ and completely merged in Christ. What do you think they are doing? This is Christ, this is Christ, this is Christ, this is Krishna, this is Rama. No. What am I talking about? You think of any person. Say, a wife is thinking about the other person, her husband. What is she thinking? This is my husband. Is a special relationship. And this relationship is a special quality. It cannot be applied to other brothers, other men, only available to this. For the wife, husband is everything. And that is a upasana of which I mentioned in my last class, how Swami Vivekananda quotes, when a Brahmin sage wanted to do tapasya, neglecting the service of his old parents who required it, then he went for begging food in front of a house, and the house lady said, please kindly wait, soon I will finish my service to my husband. This is called developing or becoming a sati. Sati means satya. Satya means what? You no longer look upon the husband as a mere individual, as a mere husband, fulfilling certain biological, social functions, but look upon the same husband, elevate him to the position of God. This is the technique of upasana. Elevate the qualities of a lower object into the highest quality. So in this particular case, husband is looked upon as a Brahman. Is it imagination? If we think it is imagination, we are totally wrong. We are only imagined for a person who has forgotten that you are really the son of a king. We are not telling. And then thereafter, even though you are not a prince, you are going to become a prince. That is not the case. You are a prince, but you have forgotten temporarily because of your circumstances, because you grew up with some people who are not belonging to the royal family. This is a most marvelous thing, to think of the forgotten truth in the form of attributed truth, superimposed quality on a lower object. This is called upasana. So, that is what upasana is about. And this boy, Gargi or Balaki, he had been practicing it. He progressed. He must have progressed. Otherwise, he would not have felt. Remember always, these personalities that we come across in the Upanishads, they are not people like professors. They practiced something and they realized something. That means they progressed in spiritual life somewhat. And then only, either they come, if they realize their knowledge is not complete, to learn more. Or if by mistake they think that they reached the highest goal, to presume that they can teach others. Sometimes they are lucky to get people who know better than themselves, and those greater people also realize this is a sincere spiritual aspirant, and so they guide them step by step to reach the highest truth. Always the goal is Brahman, Nirguna Brahman. This is what we understand. Each soul is potentially divine. Manifest this divinity with the help of a guru and remain as a Brahman, as a divine. That's what we have to understand. So, King Ajatashatru is a knower of Brahman. And a knower of Brahman doesn't go on saying, I am a knower of Brahman, you please come to me. Because even if he broadcasts day and night through YouTube, most people are not interested in becoming Brahman. They are more interested in becoming Brahma, not Brahman. So, this boy was sincere, he came. And then, how do we understand the next 12 mantras? So, Ajatashatru sat very humbly, very sincerely, please teach me. And this boy, Gargiya, said, I worship the sun as Brahman. And he did not know that there are two aspects of Brahman, Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma. That is the first mistake, ignorance. Second ignorance is, even in the Saguna Brahma, within the Saguna Brahma, there are qualities which this person did not realize, that I know only some qualities, I do not know the higher qualities, I know only the lower qualities. This Gargiya was thoroughly ignorant of this difference. So that is how we have to understand it. Now before going further, I will just give you, because only 3 minutes are there. So the mantra itself is a beautiful mantra. Om Dripta Balakihi. Dripta means arrogant, proudful. But there are arrogance and pride. There is a difference. A person who is arrogant, he doesn't have any quality, but he goes on declaring himself, I am the owner of such and such qualities. I am the owner of this company. I am the owner of so much of bank balance. Without having anything, he wants to get rid of his, what is called, inferiority complex. But a proud person is one. He knows what he is, what he has, what he knows, and he knows very few people are there equivalent to him, and therefore he becomes proud. So that is why in the Bhartrahari Subhashita, he says, even in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna we get, if somebody is so great, there is soon another person comes who proves he is greater, and then if he thinks he is the greatest, some other person comes. So a person who understands I am the greatest, that is called Vidya. And what does the Vidya do? Vidya dadati vinayam. Vidya gives complete humility. As I remember, if you still remember, the great scientist, Western scientist, who discovered the gravity, he was approached and said, sir, you know everything. And then he said, no, I am like a person sitting by the side of a sea, and whenever any thirsty person comes, I give 1 or 2 cupfuls of this salt water. Same, better story is regarding Socrates. He was declared by the Delphi oracle that he was the wisest man in this whole world. And he became curious to know, how did I earn this title? Do I really earn it? So he wanted to find out. He met all the greatest so-called wise people, and they are called philosophers. And he put certain adroit questions, and then he came back and declared, the oracle is absolutely right. I am the wisest person. And lest he might be mistaken, he declared, why do I say I am the wisest? Because a wisest person is one who knows definitely I am not the wisest person. I met so many people, and they did not know that they are not wise, but they are under the delusion that we are all great wise people. Andhe naiva niyamana yathandaha. dandramyamanah pariyanti mudhah. In the Mundaka Upanishad we get this one. So like that, I went and met everybody. They did not know that they are fools, but they think they are wise. I know I am a fool because my knowledge is very little. That is what makes him a wise person. So in conclusion, what is the essence? A wise person is one who knows I know very little. A great bhakta knows I am a small bhakta, but it is all again, not by my effort, by the grace of God. The greatest jnani thinks, I am the greatest jnani and I am the least of the jnanis, and that is also by the grace of Ishvara Kripa only I have become a jnani. That's why Sri Ramakrishna says, oh mother, I am a fool, I am a boka, I am a kichu janina. You please hold my hand and you operate through me. Let me be an instrument. Beautiful thoughts. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.